Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You wouldn't say, for example, that they're the greatest rock and roll band in the history of the world.
I probably wouldn't say that.
All right, Patrick, on this very special episode of Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
This very special episode, we're going to talk about Suburbs Fest, and specifically one of the bands that's going to be playing at Suburbs Fest. The event will take place June 20th through the 22nd in Rockford, Illinois. We are going to rock Rockford. And one of the bands playing on the last night, the big epic closing event at Pig Mines Brewing on the 22nd of June. One of the bands playing is called Half Catholic. They are a Rockford-based band, and we are going to talk today with John Tallman. Do I pronounce that correctly? Is it like Tallman or Tallman? And are you a tall man?
Tallman, so you got okay. It right. And I'm 5'9", so not super tall.
Okay, all right.
It's a little misleading.
All right. Okay, so welcome, John, to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about Half Catholic and how you would describe your music. And I will tell listeners here, you may have heard the band a bit on the podcast before. I think I featured them once on a new music episode. I'll look that up.
Over the summer, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometime last year. And, you know, also listeners of this podcast might remember the band The Stickarounds, who played at Suburbs Fest a couple of years ago. And John, you're friends with those guys, right? Matt Carlson and those guys?
Yeah, we are. And we're actually playing with them at Pig Mines in Rockford this 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on the calendar.
Small world.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's very cool.
So how would you describe Half Catholic in comparison to like the Stickarounds, right? I mean, is it similar kind of like influences and interests in music, would you say?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some overlap there. That's kind of how we became friendly with them, is through just the power pop groups on Facebook and stuff. I believe that's how we became acquainted. So yeah, it's similar, just guitar pop kind of stuff, and probably a lot of overlap with our different influences and stuff like that.
Tell us the band origin story. How did Half Catholic get together? And you tell a little bit more about the kind of music that you enjoy playing.
Yeah, so I'm John, and I sing and play guitar. And our drummer, Jacob, he and I have been playing together for 10-plus years, known each other much longer than that. And we had another band that fell through, and Through the Ashes is what we formed Half Catholic out of. Kind of in the midst of COVID era. So while that was going on, we started just recording our newer songs that we had been working on, and looking for members, and the other two members, Dan, who plays bass, and Hayden, who's the lead guitar player, I knew them kind of peripherally through their musical projects, so I knew they'd be good candidates. So that's pretty much how we got started. But yeah, as far as like the kind of stuff we play and what we're into, it's yeah, just kind of as I mentioned before, just melodic guitar based pop rock songwriter kind of stuff. And you know, I'm the principal songwriter, so I definitely wanted to have some good musicians to help round out the songs, and those guys were a good fit for that.
Yeah, so to give the listeners a sense of the music John likes, you all can't see this, but we can see him on Zoom. And so I think your shirt is Super Drag, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little bit hard for me to see with your long hair. I was like, is that Super Grass? Is it Super Chunk? No, it's Super Drag.
So many of them.
I know. I see a poster for Weezer's Green Album, and I see a Primus poster, and I see is that the Beach Boys playing Indianapolis in 1965? Yeah.
Yeah, I will say the Primus, I'm not a fan, but I have a twin brother who's a artist, an illustrator and graphic designer, and he has done some posters for some bigger bands. So the Primus one is just one he did. No disrespect to the guys, just not really my bag.
Okay,
but poster is cool.
I gotta ask about the Kiss poster then.
I was about to, yeah.
Well, that was a gift. There's some aspects of Kiss that I don't hate. But it's not really, you know, not really my, I mean, there's some, they have some good songs. But yeah, I'm not like a big Kiss aficionado.
You wouldn't say, for example, that they're the greatest rock and roll band in the history of the world.
I probably wouldn't say that. No.
Okay.
But I've never seen them live, so maybe I'm the
idiot
here.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. I gotta say, John, Jim sent me some links and everything, last week to get prepared for our interview. And first thing I did was I clicked on the video for your song. Great song, by the way. Pour It On Lightly. I was like, well, I got to listen to all these songs, but I found myself watching the video like five times in a row because it's so good. And I'm so curious to learn where it was filmed, because it's obviously like my dream place, Jim, you know, with all these record stacks and you're kind of weaving around in between. So tell us a little bit about that video. It's really, really well done and such a great song on top of it.
Well, it looks like we filmed it in wherever you're at.
But, that's why I like it, yeah.
I work at there's a record store in town here in Rockford, Toad Hall Records and Books, that is a big building. They've been around for 50 years, and that's my place of employment. I was able to let the owners let me come in after hours, and we were able to set up and shoot a video with our friend Bart Bischoff. It was, we knew we had a good location just by being in there all the time. And, it's something that we had to take advantage of that.
It's really, really well done. I love it. And the cuts between the black and white and the color really work well. So for everybody out there, at least for me, this was a great introduction to Half Catholic. Get on this video. You can find them on YouTube and watch this video to start off with on Pour It On Lightly. It's great. I also love the one close-up of the Fender Mustang. I thought that was a very nice detail thrown in at the end.
For sure. Yeah, I love Fender Mustangs, and I have a few of them. Just got a new one somewhat recently. So nice. That one there is my... It's a vintage one that I bought that someone had modified pretty heavily, but it is a very nice guitar that I do love, and it looks pretty cool. So we got to feature it in the video, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. Absolutely.
Your EP, that's called Art in Heaven?
Yep.
Came out last year, 5-song EP?
Yep, that's correct.
And was that was the first like extended work you did, right? You had a couple of singles before then, right?
Yep. Yeah, we released 2 singles in, I think, 2021. And after that, we'd written a lot of songs, but just kind of ended up taking the 5 ones that we liked the best for our EP. So it was a little bit of a lag in between our last single and our EP. But we were just working on stuff, you know?
So people can hear that on all the big streaming services, right? All that stuff.
Yep, Bandcamp, Spotify, YouTube, should be everywhere.
Yeah, awesome. And what was the reception to that?
It was pretty good, I would say. It's all relative. We got some nice little press, some unexpected things, just blogs and things that would find us without us reaching out, so that was a nice surprise. Overall we've gotten a good response, and it seems that the songs are finding their way to people through algorithms and things like that. So we're finding not a ton, but there are more and more people that seem to be hearing it just through the internet, and that's kind of what we hope for.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that interesting? These songs can sometimes kind of take on a life of their own, right?
Yeah, it seems now, gosh, there's so many different instances of this, the one thing, just for an example, I'm sure you're familiar with like Mazzy's Star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were around a long time ago and probably had some hits, maybe bigger overseas in the UK, but at the record store I work in now, that's like a hugely popular band that kids are coming in. Like young kids are always asking us about this, and it's just because of these songs that have been dormant almost for a long time, finding their way through TikTok and other things.
Yeah.
And and there's tons of examples of that, like bands like Big Star that, you know, didn't find their pretty mainstream band at this point, despite not having done anything in a million years. So yeah, it's a weird world we live in that happens, but it's a good thing, because if you put a lot into something and it doesn't, you know, change your life overnight, it's like, you know, that it's going to live on in some capacity and that it's there if anyone ever wants to find it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that aspect of putting stuff out there and having it live there forever.
Well, this is a good opportunity for you and Patrick to talk about record store things, because Patrick in his younger days worked in a record store as well. But I'm very different, though. You were like a mall record store situation, right? Yeah. Back when those existed.
Yeah.
And and nowadays, it's, you know, record stores are more, you know, independent, right? Small, you know, tend to be smaller places. But I'm curious, John, from working there, you know, what is your sense today of the physical media? You know, the interest in physical media, who's buying, and where do you see this headed?
Well, it seems like, I don't want to say it's bigger than ever, because obviously people were selling millions of records 20, 30 years right. ago. But yeah. The vinyl, it's like, we got Record Store Day coming up next week, and there's 400 titles, which I think wow. is probably the biggest one they've done. So it's like it seems to only becoming more popular. And I would say that the one thing that I've noticed that's a trend, I guess, or just something I see a lot, is that a lot of all the current pop and hip hop artists, they're all doing vinyl, and kids are showing up to buy it. So it's kind of its own thing again. And but in addition to that, there's also a lot of probably Gen Z people, teens and early 20s, that are getting into CDs because they're cheap.
Yes, exactly.
And like when I was getting into vinyl 10, 15 years ago, the vinyl was cheap.
Right.
And that was a big draw to it. But now it's expensive, so you kind of see it going the other way, where it's like, and there is such this, such a big 90s nostalgia kind of a thing going on, it seems, to where so many of these bands that were in their heyday, it's like 16-year-old kids want to own like Bush CDs and things like that, which is what it is, but it's kind of interesting.
It's so funny. So,
people still, there is something to the physical aspect of it. It's going to find its way. There's always going to be people, I think, that are collecting it, and it's way more fun if you're, I suppose that if you're a kid and you grew up in this world where there's just everything's in the cloud, and it's all streaming and YouTube, something like having a CD collection or a cassette tape collection or records it's just a novel concept, and it's probably kind of it's probably opening up a lot of people to a whole new world that they never even knew existed. And it's good that there's record stores still around to facilitate that, because I don't know where else you'd go for CDs or anything.
It's funny, because my son is 19, and he's like into CDs now, and just like you said, because they're inexpensive, and he loves going to like thrift stores, and looking for CDs, because you can get them for like, you know, sometimes less than you know, 50 cents a piece or that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
and it's that kind of thrill of the hunt, you know, for him.
Definitely.
Right, you know. What did you score, you know, going to a thrift store or a used record store, that kind of thing, right? So, I don't know. There is something to that. Like, the kids, I mean, I know that they, you know, obviously, they're going to listen to stuff on streaming. It's a great way to discover music or listen to the latest, you know, album by an artist you like or that kind of thing. But there's still something about having a collection that holds appeal to people.
There is. And I know that when I was kind of starting to collect vinyl, when it was inexpensive, you could gamble. So you'd see something that maybe you heard something about, but you'd never actually listened to. And of course, I didn't. This was a little bit before Spotify, so streaming wasn't as prevalent. So I'd be just see an artist that I heard maybe influence a band I like, and I could just snag it for cheap. And then suddenly, there's a whole new world. If it works out and you like the music, now you got to go down that rabbit hole and get the other albums. So with CDs being cheap, it's a great way to do that. You can buy based on maybe you see the back or the producer that did an album you like, whatever it may be. It's not going to break you if you end up with something that's not very good.
That's
so
right.
You can take a little bit of risks, which I think is a big part of building a collection.
So is Half Catholic going to put out a CD?
Well, we did put out our EP on CD and cassette tape.
Oh, you did? Okay.
We definitely will. We're working on, we've been writing a lot of songs, and we have more than enough quantity-wise for like a full-length album.
Nice.
But it's just, editing, and there's some stuff that might not make the cut. So it's like, we have, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 songs or in various forms, but it's like, maybe only 7 of them will make the cut. So it's like, we got to write some more. So there's definitely plans to do more music. We're just kind of in the demoing and just getting all our ducks in a row. That's the process we're kind of in the middle of right now.
Got it. I have a record store question for you, John.
Sure.
And this is, I always felt, when I worked at a record store anyway, we had rules where you had to play a record in the store stereo system that you had in stock. Or more importantly, if I was working at Sam Goody, it had to be on the sale flyer that week so people could move the product. But how do you guys do it at your record store? Who controls the in-record store stereo? Does everybody get a turn, or how does that work?
Well, you know, honestly, the default is that there's usually Sirius XM playing.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. But I will say that we do have a turntable set up and a CD set up, and I put stuff on all the time. And plenty of the people there, the customers, workers, whatever, will put stuff on. A lot of times it'll... if I'm the only one in there, I'll bring a stack of records in that I want to listen to throughout the day. I am a big fan of that concept, but sometimes it's just like, yeah, we got work to do. Just put on the Stevens Underground Garage for the day or whatever it is.
Right.
Whatever station we got going. So yeah, there's a little bit of that, but maybe not as much as, Sam Goody had you guys doing.
Can you remember the last time somebody bought something based on something you were playing in the store?
And was it the 3 EPs by the Beta Band?
I think that it's hard for me to say specifically. I did have a record on that I was playing about a week ago, and one of our workers, he's like, he has a welding job, and he just comes in a few times a week to kind of clean up and stuff. And he was just in there, and he seemed pretty interested in what I was playing. So I would count that as, and that was the album was Grand Hotel by the Explorers Club that I had.
Oh, nice.
Which is sort of like a, the band, the Explorers Club is sort of like a, kind of started as like a Beach Boys pastiche kind of a thing. This album is more of a, the one that I had in was a more of like A&M Records, 70s soft pop kind of concept record.
Oh, cool.
So that's what he was digging.
Interested in. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was always a great feeling when somebody asked you, you know, what you were playing. So.
Yeah, definitely. And it certainly has happened. I'm just, my recall's not as good, but yeah, that's the goal, right?
John, how do you feel working in a record store influences your music?
You know, it actually really is done a lot for that. Like, I didn't really know what to expect. I've only been working there a few years. And the big thing is that if I hear something that I like and I'm like, for one, I've become much more resourceful about doing, like, finding out, just, if there's an album I'm interested in, I'm pretty good at figuring out all the different versions of it that are out there, just from using all the resources and stuff. And, so yeah, I'd say that it's just made me more curious. I'll see. There's a lot of stuff that I see that I just like the cover of that I'm like, I'm going to put this on. And sometimes it ends up being something really good. But yeah, and also because I get a bit of a discount and I have access to our distributors, I can say, okay, I want this record. And so yeah, it's expanded my musical taste quite a bit, really. And probably more than I even realized that it would when I started working there.
That's cool.
So we're about a half hour into this, and we haven't even discussed the fact that Rockford is essentially the capital of power pop, right?
Well, you know, some might say that.
Yeah,
but
I think they should put that on the signs when you drive in. Rockford, power pop, capital of the world.
There actually are signs with Cheap Trick stuff plastered on some of the signs coming in. So it kind of is like that, honestly.
Yeah.
So you get, once you're coming in, you'll probably see some of them.
So what's your relationship to that band?
Well, I am a big fan. I should say that growing up, they're kind of ubiquitous. A lot of people will say their dad's friends with Rick or Bunny or whoever. You hear stories like that. And I never listened to their music when I was younger. Didn't really care. And then when I started getting into the Beatles and stuff when I was a little older, and then I would hear some of their stuff, and it was like, oh, these guys are clearly like Beatles fans. Like, I didn't realize this is what they sounded like. So I would say I'm a pretty decent fan of Cheap Trick, and I've seen them a few times, and somewhat acquainted with some of their people who are, you know, related to them and things like that. But and I have met Rick once. So yeah, I got that going for me. But they're around. There's a lot of it sounds like in the 90s there was a lot more sightings of those guys. I think most of them were probably living here at the time, and they'd go out to the bars and sit in with people and things like that. So I never got to see any of that, unfortunately. But some of my older friends that have been around for a while, well, they all got, most people have at least one pretty cool Cheap Trick story.
I mean, it's a pretty cool band to, you know, to be the hometown band, right?
Oh, 100%. And it's probably lost on, I think it's just something that we're all so used to that I don't think people maybe appreciate how good they really are.
Yeah. All right. And then I got one last thing. I don't know, Patrick, if you have anything else, but I got to ask, where did the name Half Catholic come from?
Well, nothing too great, unfortunately. I was raised as a Catholic, and big part of my childhood. And the honest truth is that my twin brother, who's the artist I mentioned earlier, and he's done our artwork and stuff, he kind of had that name floating around for something he was going to use, but he didn't end up using it. And when we needed a band name, I just kind of asked if I could borrow it. So there's not a ton of significance there, but the truth is that I had a notes app full of band names, potential band names, and they're all terrible. And it's just really hard to find one that would work. So that was the one we landed on.
Nice. That is an honest answer. There's no doubt about that. You're being a good Catholic by answering with the truth.
Definitely.
I got to ask you, John, when our group comes out, and our group is going to love your band, and it's right up our alley completely. Will you guys play any covers? Is that something you regularly do in your live set?
You know, it's not something we've really ever done much of. It's not that, you know, I for whatever reason, I think the scenes I kind of came up in, you had time for five songs at a basement punk show or whatever.
Right.
So I've kind of kept that. And then getting older and going into bars, it's just like, oh, we need more songs, so let's write more. And then we probably should try to come up with one or two, but it's not something that we had really thought too much about doing. But you know, it probably give us more money if we could get a set of covers in there in the future, play longer.
Right.
So we probably should start considering that.
Yeah, for Suburbs Fest, I think specifically, you know, if you turn around, you see that band over there right behind your shoulder with a KISS. Maybe you go through their catalog, come up with a cover for us, you know, could be good.
Yeah.
You never know. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah, okay. Sure we will, old man.
I think the Weezer might be another way to go. So, all right.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be another option.
Yeah, I actually might know some of those songs. So.
Oh, cool.
More than Kiss.
I mean, I would think that if you're playing like, you know, power pop or alternative, that like learning Weezer songs kind of gives you like an education in like how songs are put together, and you know they're just so they're so kind of, for lack of a better word, sort of academic in their approach, right, to music.
And,
and I think when I was like, because I mean I do love Weezer, and I mean I don't sit around listening to Weezer records all the time anymore, but at a formative stage it was such an important band, and I learned so many things from them, and you know, I have the Green Album display here, and that album is essentially a power pop album,
right?
And I remember when I first got into that album, it was also the time that I was really into like the Red Beatles album, the compilation where it's just the early part, and I was just like, yeah, these songs are all, it's like the same kind of structures. Right. Like it kind of clicked in for me, like, oh, this is, and it was very educational. So yeah, you're right on. That is if you're listening to, if you want to write songs, it's a good place to start for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much, John. Thanks for hanging out with us here.
Thanks.
On the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to Suburbs Fest, and I may have mentioned this, I don't know, but I am a fan of your guys' podcast before you ever played us or anything.
Oh, wow.
Before I knew that you guys knew the stick arounds, any of that. So yeah, this is very exciting to be a part of it.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
That's great. You're
very
the one.
Cool.
You're the one who's been listening.
We knew somebody was listening.
Yeah. So that's great. So everybody. Come from near and far to hear Half Catholic play at Suburbs Fest. This is the only time this will ever happen, I believe. Half Catholic at Suburbs Fest. So, you know, what else? What else do you have better to do? Come on out. That will specifically be on Saturday, June 22nd at Pig Minds Brewing. We're going to have two other bands also on that bill. Another Rockford band called The Lone Canary, and Frank Muffin, our friends Frank Muffin from Indiana. So three band bill, come check that out. And then we have events also on Thursday and Friday, June 20th and 21st, all of it at Pig Minds Brewing. So it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, it's a really nice place, and the people there are great. I think it's going to be a really, really fun couple days.
Awesome.
Hope so.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll see you soon then, John. And where would you like people to listen to Half Catholic? Is Bandcamp really the best place to go?
You know, probably. I believe quality-wise, you get the best off Bandcamp, sound-wise, if that's your thing. But anywhere, you know, just wherever, whatever works. We're YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. So whatever your preference is. And it's all good to me.
All right. Thanks again. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And go visit suburbspod.com/fest for more information on the fest, including hotel information, all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Important to know as well. And we will talk to you later. so many people are always saying, oh, rock is dead, right? I would say your sound is just an effort to keep rock alive.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
That sounds right.
That works for me.